This is all part of my presentation to you this morning. As the screen comes down, I have a revelation for you, and I want to begin by simply talking with you a little bit about something that happened as a child. When I was a young child in high school, I wanted to be like other people. You know, I mean, that's one of the key ingredients of high school and those junior high years is trying to be like other people. And so during the 80s, which you may or may not remember, but during the 80s, it was the resurgence of those things, all things preppy. And so there came out the first edition of the Preppy Handbook, which I see some of you nodding, so you had a copy of the Preppy Handbook. I understood that that was the Bible of how to maneuver your way through high school and impress friends. And so I took it. I changed my name so that people would call me Chip, which they did not do. I did wear penny loafers, Argyle socks, Izod belt. I had the whole thing. And one of the prized possessions of my time during that era was a cranberry jacket. My parents gave me an Izod cranberry jacket, and that's what I want to show you. So if you look at the screen there, you'll see a picture of me at my sophomore dance in the cranberry jacket and shorts. And knee black socks. And so I offer that to just simply say that many times in our lives, what happens is that when we think that we are controlling something or becoming the person that we're supposed to be, we make horrific fashion mistakes. And the truth is that it's a very important learning process for us as human beings, because what we learn how to do is to put on masks, other personas, but it was me. I mean, I am guilty of, you know, for the fashion police, but, you know, that's also not me at the same time. Brené Brown, in her new book called Daring Greatly, shares another story, and it goes like this. There was once a woman in her late 40s, and she told me this. I used to take every good thing and imagine the worst possible disaster. I would literally picture the worst case scenario and try to control all of the outcomes. And when my daughter got into the college of her dreams, I just knew that something bad would happen if she moved too far away. I spent the entire summer before she left trying to convince her to go to a local school. And it crushed her confidence and took the fun out of her last summer. It was a painful lesson. Now, today, I cross my fingers. I stay grateful. I stay grateful. I pray. And I try like hell to push the bad images out of my head. But unfortunately, I have passed that way of thinking down to my daughter. And she's increasingly afraid to try new things, especially when her life is going well. She says she just doesn't want to tempt fate. Both of these stories, both of these memories are powerful because they describe how human beings, how we go through our lives. Sometimes I am more likely to think of all the things that can possibly go wrong and adjust my life to those things that aren't even real, that are not even real, and create what I hope will be my desired safety, which never, never is as good as what I hoped it would be. Sometimes I choose the safer route, the safer choice, the safer thing, whatever the safety is. And so trying to decrease my potential risk, which may or may not be real. Sometimes I ruin the very thing that I wish to protect by trying to protect it. Sometimes I create situations and cultures because of my actions, which I thought were good at the time, but because I wanted to control the outcomes. Human beings, we are created in such a way that we put up walls, boundaries, masks, we purchase cranberry jackets. Whatever it will take to hide our real selves, to enable us to flee from daring greatly into the safety of controlled and yet more poor outcomes. So the words of Jesus to His disciples today and to His followers are good words to hear. The words that Jesus speaks today are good words. Friends, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You are enough. You are more value to God than many sparrows. You, me, we are of value to our God. The people had gathered around Jesus. They were hungry to hear just this message. They were longing to hear. Things were crazy in their time. And Jesus was making His way through Jerusalem. He was teaching, He was preaching, He was prophesying. He was offering a vision of a kingdom, a dominion of God that was substantially different than the world that they experienced. And so people were flocking to Him. And it was making the people who were in power incredibly nervous. But in the midst of this cultural change, this great cultural uncertainty, Jesus dares to step out into this arena to walk away from home and safety and a job, offering a version of the kingdom and how it works, which was challenging because it said everybody has value. Everybody has value because you are created by your God. You are of more value than the sparrows. Jesus is stirring things up with a little bit of grace. The atmosphere is electric, and I love that image at the beginning, which is almost like Jesus as the rock star opera. I mean, the people are climbing on top of one another to get to Him. That's how desperate they are to hear this little bit of good news. Can you imagine that kind of good news in your life? Where you would scramble over the top of people just to hear it. And at the same time, they're afraid. What if this doesn't work? Who hadn't thought that before? God, I know You're in charge. Wish You were here. Right? I mean, we think, that's what we think. It's like, what if it does? God, I understand this grace thing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what if it doesn't work, though? What happens next? What happens after You leave us in the resurrection? And the people are having a hard time focusing in on this grace that God is offering. And Jesus says, look, the key thing here for you, if you're going to follow Me, if you're going to be followers of Me, if you're going to live in this new kingdom, then simply live your life transparent. Be who you are all the time. There's no hidden you. God sees you. God sees who you are. Nothing is hidden. So know that you are of more value than the sparrows. Because God sees who you are. God sees who I am. In here, the me that you don't get to see. Everything is seen. And even after seeing, God pours out His grace and love. But the fear and the anxiety about what others think is a powerful human deterrent, isn't it? Fear and anxiety and our response of control buries this grace, this good news of the gospel. But Jesus offers us courage to be who we really are. Have courage to face this time and the unknown and the change that you are walking in the midst of. Have courage, even though there may be overwhelming odds against you. Have courage in a time of danger. You are of value to God just the way you are, and your ministry is of value to God. So do not be afraid. Do not fear. For I am with you, right? That's how the words of the Scripture go. I have to tell you, I have to hear this message. I don't know about you all. I have to hear this message. And I need to hear it on a regular basis. Because I know me. I need to be reminded that no matter the successes or the failures, that I am loved by God, that I am of more value than the sparrows. The Episcopal church women of our day, in our context in Texas, need to hear this message. This is the message, the gospel message that we are called as the ECW to proclaim loudly and clearly and transparently from the very depth of our souls to the world around us. The woman who works for an hourly wage, who is an Episcopalian, is hoping somebody is going to tell her that she is of more value than the sparrows. The woman who barely makes ends meet. The woman with plenty of money and spare time. The woman with the broken home. The woman with cancer, hoping to hold her family together. The woman with the best husband ever, Joanne Doyle. The doctor, the lawyer, the janitor, the teenager figuring out the world. The widow alone at home. These women are waiting to hear this message. These are the Episcopal church women. These are the ones who are longing to have somebody bridge the grace of God into their lives. And that is you. You are the bridge. And the bearer of that graceful message. To say to them, you are enough. You are valued more than the sparrows. You are the beloved of God. You. Our ministry, the ECW mission, must be about engaging the world and the women of our world from a place of worthiness and grace and forgiveness that only comes from God. Our ministry has to be to embrace our own vulnerabilities so that we can embrace the vulnerabilities and imperfections of others as beauty marks from God. Our ministry is to share from a deep sense of love and mercy and compassion that we receive from God to others. Our ministry is to be grateful. To give thanks as a community for all the blessings and challenges of this life. To say that hard work is good and perseverance is good. And to give respect to one another is good. To respect the dignity of every woman in this diocese. To recognize in them that God values them more than the sparrow. Our work is to discover in ourselves the belovedness of God. Instead of looking for it out there. To hear the small, still voice of our Creator calling our name and saying, you are valued. You are enough. I love you. And to invite you into ministry. This is a ministry and mission of courage. Imperfect, vulnerable, and yet creative courage. Our ministry is to be resilient hand-holding, voice-sharing, and listening ears that say to the women of this diocese, to the children of this diocese, and to all God's people, friend, you are enough. You are of more value to God than the sparrows. Where you have the vision for that ministry, in your church and in your community, may God give you the grace to share that good news with the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.